appreciate Pastor Bruce's trust in me. For those of you who don't know, he asked me to speak on prayer every month. So in January, we started an evening once a month prayer night. And so a dozen or 20 people have come. Because for those of you who don't know me, I love to pray. And I love to get other people to pray. And people who don't pray can frustrate me. So, and in the past, I might have shown that frustration a little bit. I'm hoping I'm learning to be more encouraging than frustrated. So, this morning, I'm just going to open in prayer. But I do have a request of the younger people that are in the room. Can you all come to the front?
No,
sit at the front. Like Eric, Megan, Maddie, because you love me. You said Debbie Gallagher. It's in Debbie Gallagher's room. She likes company. I know it sounds funny. And so, and my request is that if you have technology and if you go on technology on your phone, don't. I want you to pick up the Bible in your pew and read along and not use the technology today. How's that?
Bummer.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Probably maybe you can't ask me that, but I can ask it. I know what you did. Okay. All right. Father, I am so grateful for your son Jesus today. I am so grateful that he suffered and died and is risen again. I am so grateful for the good news of the gospel of peace that teaches us that we have access to the throne room of grace to have help and receive mercy and grace in time of need. I thank you for the truth of your word. And this morning, Father, I pray that you would awaken us, and you would enliven us, and you would give us encouragement not to give up. Lord, you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, abounding in mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so you have removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, you, and so to speak, pity us. You remember we're dust. You know we blow it. That's why we have Christ. And we are so grateful. This morning, I pray that you would open our ears and our understanding and our eyes to who you are and what you say is true in your word. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for basing what we think of you on our own circumstance and our own experience. Lord, help us take your word at face value today. And Lord, please, may it be your word that comes out of my mouth. And not my own crazy ideas. Your wonderful, fabulous, out of the comfort zone ideas that we need to live this life. I just pray that you So thank you very much, again, people, for coming forward. And I know some of you had to sleep over, some of you didn't get a lot of sleep. You can join in with Daniel. He starts snoozing over there. He's a young dad now, you know. So when I talked about prayer, it was really funny. Pastor Bruce last week said, "Oh, what is she going to speak on?" I'm going to do what I'm going to speak on. I should get up here and not speak on it. But the funny part is, what I have to say today has to do with our walk with God. So it applies to anything, but it will specifically apply to prayer, which is that's what I will talk about and do. So if you could just shout out at me, because I'm a teacher and I'm not a preacher, I'm a homeschool mom and I have five children, for those of you who don't know me, Dave is my husband. And so just shout out at me, because I like participation in class. What kind of prayers are there that you can think of? There's lamenting here. in the Psalms, if you want good prayers, go read Psalms. Like, if you ever feel sorrowful, read the Psalms. Because David had sorrow. He ran, he was pursued for his life and all of those things, and yet at the end of all of the Psalms, so often he ends up praising the Lord. He sees God for who he is, and he gives him praise, even though it starts in the lament and the cry of the heart. So there's intercession. 1 Timothy 2 talks about all kinds of prayers, and we're called to make all kinds of prayers for all kinds of people, for a nation, for government, for kings, for a situation. Scripture says you're to pray all the time. That's a really big thing. Pray without ceasing. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is simply communicating with God. There's all kinds of forms of it. So then you come to church and you hear some of the crazy women, usually, or Daniel going on and on and on praying, and he's got this heart behind it, and you're like, what is he doing? He's just, you know, there are people that I believe are gifted, just like you're gifted to serve or be hospitable. I believe you're gifted with the spirit of intercession, where God puts it on you to pray. And you can do it quietly. I would say Shirley Portis is my favorite example. She's a quiet intercessor, but man, does she have a heart to pray. I'm a little louder. Bonnie, Monica, and I are a little louder. You guys know us. I feel like, you know, we're family here. So you know that it says we meet. We sing, we rejoice, we cry, we throw ourselves at the feet of the altar sometimes. You know, there's all kinds of praying. So what I want, I'm not going to put some high standard and think, oh, this is too hard. I'm going to read you what Scripture says about prayer. And today I'm talking about not the, oh, Lord, it's hot today, please send some rain. Those are good prayers. But I'm not talking about you whining and complaining prayer. I'm not talking about the prayer that is just simply conversation with God. Today, I'm the wild at heart guy, what's his name, Eldridge, you know, from Colorado. I don't know if you've ever read it. He wrote a book called Wild at Heart, and he has a ministry in the States. His wife did the Captivating series. He has to separate the two. The cry of the heart prayer is where you're crying out for your situation, right? You're in the midst of troubles, you're crying out. Then there's the get her done prayer. And these are the prayers I'm talking about. That you are needed, and some of you teased for this a couple weeks ago, but you are needed to get her done. You are needed to stand in the gap. Whether you have this, oh, well, I'm not like Nina Wallace, or I'm not like her, or my mother, or my grandfather. You are called to pray. Pray without ceasing with all kinds of prayers because you are needed. So we're going to turn to Luke 18 this morning. And I'm going to read it in two versions. Many of us who've grown up in the church know this story. The parable of the persistent widow. I'm going to read it in the New King James because I love the New King James. But I'm also going to read it in the Message. Because the Message is an interpretation, or it's not a direct translation of the word. It's a word. But it gives us a good understanding to what's behind the story. So, Luke 18. Then he, being Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Yes, so if you have a Bible in the pew, that would be great. Dave and I had this conversation, this is a sidebar, that in our generation, it's so easy to put PowerPoints up. But I want you to dig in. I want you to grab it and look. Because I may be telling you something that's not true. And you need to know how to find out for yourself where the truth is in the Word. Not saying that that can't happen on an iPod. But okay. Don't lose heart. Saying, there was a certain judge. City. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. But there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's the New King James. Here's the message. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept asking, my rights are being violated. Protect me. He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because the widow won't quit badgering me, I better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. So the master said, do you hear what this judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? Persistent praying. A persistent Christian life where we don't grow weary or faint or quit. That word faint actually means to lose courage. He says, men ought to pray everywhere and not lose courage. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. Now, we physically, we know what makes us weary and tired. What makes us lose heart and stop praying? This world, and it's, we could just say the world and its world system alone, does it. But there's a list that I come up with. Because what happens, I'm just thinking, you know, you pray for a friend, and how long do you persist in praying for that friend? Someone says, pray for me. Okay, here's my number one. If you're taking notes at all, I will throw in little tidbits of practical advice. Really practical. Someone says, can you pray for me? Do it right there. I know you've all heard it, but maybe not. Do it right there. Don't go, oh yes, I'm going to go home and spend an hour in my prayer closet. You probably won't. You won't remember. Do it right there. Don't say you're going to pray if you're not going to pray. Be a person of your word. It's so much better. Donna Vandewoer is really great at it. You want to go get prayer? She does it right there. She's okay. Not that other people aren't, but I'm just looking at it and you are really good at that. You know, she, and if it's over the phone, I asked you the other week, how many of you guys pray out loud? I won't ask you here when I'm here in Seattle. And not many of them did. We need to learn how to pray out loud. Mm-hmm. We need to practice in your prayer closet praying out loud. And start with scripture. If you don't know what to say, I don't know what to say. Take a scripture and pray it out loud. It's really not hard if you practice. And you say, oh, prayer should just flow out of me easily. Practice. It's okay. And this is a safe place for family. You know, if you say the wrong word, it's okay. All right. Circumstances stop us from praying. Unbelief. We don't really believe what God says is true in His Word. We're not spending time with God. We're opting to go for entertainment and escapism than we are to have time with the Lord, or even going for a walk. You know, when I say time with the Lord, it's not about how many hours you're spending, it's how the intimacy you're having with the walk. And that happens all day long, I hope. But hobbies can take us away. Our hobby of running, which we'll get to in a minute. A family can take us away. Friends can. I mean, having a young child, a newborn in your house, certainly you're praying as you fall asleep at night sometimes, and that's okay. But over the long term, we don't want these things to eat away at us. Sometimes when we lose heart because the people we're praying for, there is no advancement. We've been praying for salvation for somebody for 20 years, or that they'll at least come to our house for, you know, stuff, but they're so scared of a Christian they won't come. We lose heart. I did that. I started praying for my brother, and I learned a huge lesson. My parents did what I did. And my parents' prayer is cutting. That taught me a big lesson. We don't understand why we pray. We don't understand the heart of the Father. We don't understand what Jesus did at the cross. There's things that we need to be honest with ourselves about our life. And I'm in the boat with you guys. I'm not here saying I'm conquered at all. I've had my kids and not my kids. They know what I struggle with. They know what I struggle with even to get to praying and talking to the Lord and getting in the gap with somebody who needs it. We're tired. How many of you are tired? How many of you would rather not deal with reality and just slip into a coma of sorts and come out of heaven? Just help me get to the end of my life on one piece floor so I can be with you. I think that would feel that way someday. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. It's not a wrong desire. But if we're letting ourselves fall asleep, not a good thing. This is not the kind of life Jesus says. We look in this parable alone, and he says, men ought to pray and persist. This widow persisted. She prayed consistently, so to speak, and didn't give up. I just want to leave you with three things. So I left you with a practical thing, that if someone asks you to pray, come just do it right then and there, on the phone. And if you are uncomfortable at this point in your walk with God, just say, I'm going to go hang up on the phone. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to just put a second time praying. I'm not quite comfortable praying a lot. Just communicate. It's wonderful for them even to know that you have said, I'm going to take 5 minutes to pray for you. Like, that's a huge encouragement to someone. So how do we not lose heart? There are three things I'm going to talk about. There's lots of things we can do not to lose heart. And I don't even touch on being in the fellowship. Like, we being with others and praying with others helps us not lose heart. We get encouragement. I'm not even really touching on that one today. I want to talk about goal setting. I know you're like, goals, do I have to be intentional about this? Yeah. So that you don't slip into a coma and just end up in heaven. To understand the cross of Christ, and then out of that, the relationship we have with the Father. I think that if we have a goal, I think that if we understand more fully and immerse ourselves in the pivotal work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we will pray. I think that when we start to understand that access through the cross gives us relationship with the Father and start to understand the heart of the Father, we will be tired. So I'm going to talk a little bit about these for a minute. But before I do, there's something really cool I learned. And I'm not a Greek scholar, that's game. But I was looking at the word faint. Don't throw faint or lose heart. And amidst all of the explanation, it showed, and it said this. Let's just find it here. That if we don't pray and we lose heart, we are culpable for neglecting to send aid. And I was like, what does culpable mean? Put that in your pocket because that's a good scrapbook. Culpable means we deserve blame. We're culpable for neglecting to send aid. Now, Jesus isn't telling us, I'm going to blame you for not praying. He's not saying that. He wants to encourage us from the other way. Sometimes the Lord gives us a hard word, discipline. And to motivate me. Mercedes and I were just having a discussion because she finished her grade 10 exam. She did well. We're not sure whether she was expecting to do better or not. We haven't figured that one out, but we're very proud of her. And she got 81%. So for Anna, like, that's a grade 8 exam. That's pretty good. So I'm just bragging about it. But her teacher does not just say, oh, Mercedes, you are doing so well. Everything you do is wonderful. That kind of teacher she has, I hope she has, I pay money for her to be equipped for that exam. I want her to be telling her, actually, you need to work here, here, and here. In January, Mercedes came to her and said, something's not right. I feel like I'm not going to be ready for you. Because you have to understand, grade 10 exam is at least an hour every day. Intentional focus, and her teacher didn't say, oh, Mercy, it's okay, you're doing a great job. She said, well, here's what we can do. And she helped her set up her practices so that she would succeed. And she has. She did work. She succeeded. I'm really grateful for her teacher. I'm really grateful that the Lord says to us here, don't lose heart. You know what? If the fire, our house, neighbor's house is burning down, and we don't call 911, are we not to blame for not getting the fire truck there fast enough? We can call on the aid of the Father of Heaven, and we don't do it. And I'm going to tell you one reason why we're so self-focused. We have so not had goals. We're so not interested in growing that we ignore the call around us. We know the one who can send aid. Okay, so Darren, can you come up here for a minute? Narracoke is a region that I'm running in a race in 4 weeks. And he's the region, and this is the part where we get encouragement from one another. But I'm going to talk just to Darren for a few minutes, and I want him to, this is a good mic, Steve. And I thought, you know, we're visual people, and I thought you probably won't forget what he said today. So, can you tell me why you run?
I want to do that. It took me a lot of years.
Good. There were a number of years where you couldn't run, really, physically. You
no. I had asthma for you.
So you probably know where I'm going. Some of you know that I ran, I was getting up to marathon level before I had an arena. Actually, that's how I knew I was pregnant. I went out for a run one day, and I was dogged, and I thought, what is my problem? And I was like, just pregnant, 10 minutes pregnant. Then I go sick for half a minute, so I did not run through that whole thing. So, Darren says to me, well, you want to run in October. I thought, okay, I can run in October. And he's like, but there's one in August. I'm like, well, okay, I'll do the 5K. Oh, if you do a 5, you can do a 10, you can walk it. Is that not his quote?
Yes.
If you can do 10, why not? Are you doing the half marathon or the whole marathon? Okay, so Megan's doing that. He said that to her. If you're doing 10, just do the half. Maybe you don't want to come with us. So I don't know what kind of coach he is. But what has he done? He motivated me. And not him alone. It's my own goal because I want to run. I think Maddie and I are going to be running that together. I'm not up to very good pace yet, obviously, but that race, I signed up, but it was Darren's encouragement of me. And Darren didn't have to do anything else but say, you can do a 5, you can do a 10. If you're asking for salvation for your name, why not ask the whole family? You know, if you're going there, why not your role? Why not this opening some ideas up for maybe we should have a barbecue, maybe we should, you know, have kids over for a club, or, you know what, we need each other on that, just push us, we need to be pushed out of our comfort zone. Okay, because this is what is interesting. Now I know all of you probably, those of you who don't know, all of you who kind of walk from here, this is a great picture of him in his house. I often think about when I'm running. You know, you need people in your life that motivate you. But the greatest one is Jesus. And he said, men ought to pray and not lose heart. Setting a goal helps us when we are losing heart. I went for a run this morning, the longest one I've done in history in Spoon Court, and I got to my neighbor's house up the road and I walked the rest of the way. I made it so far that I thought I'm just walking home. Which it wasn't even half an hour, but I made it, I ran my hour, I haven't done that in a long time. But you need the goal. I thought, I have to keep running. I'm running a 10K in 4 weeks. I need to keep running consistent. You need a goal. And sometimes we just think, well, I'm in heaven, I'm good. You know, well, that means you're paid 1 minute, and the next minute you're saved, you've already got the goal. So, Gary Thomas is a spiritual writer, and he says, so basically you start at the finish line. So the same thing happens. If you don't have a goal other than getting to heaven, then you're not going to pray. I would say you won't be motivated to pray. But if you have a goal that says, I'm going to love the Lord my God, and I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, or as he says in the book that I was reading, Gary Thomas says, when he reads the gospel, he sees Jesus when he walks, hell breaks the heart of his feet with every step. I want to be a person like Jesus, but hell breaks the heart of his feet because I'm bringing the kingdom. If that's your goal, whoa. Because the lies of the enemy are going to be set against you, and you're going to just cower going the other direction when it gets hard. When it gets to the 10-kilometer point and it's muddy and hot and you haven't had a drink and you just want to die, that's me talking. I really encourage you to think about why you live your life the way you're living it. What is my goal? Because then we have little goals, right? There are big goals in their lives. But he has to run these small marathons. He knows in September he's running through the winter because he wants to run in May and have a good time to get into Boston. He has to have a qualifying time to get to the Boston Marathon. Not everyone can just do it. And you know what's cool? That when we live intentionally, because that's the word that David and I have been trying to use in our life for 10 years, it is hard and we lose heart. Really, we have to be intentional. Again, I have to say no to my daughter now when she's 3. So when she's 16, she won't be belligerent. Yes. Well, can I just know you can't? You have to be, you have to guide her. And I'll tell you, my Karina is the persistent widow. If anybody knows Karina, and they will say, yes, just like you. But you know what? You're really good thing according to the scripture. I just have to direct her and show her what is suitable for a young woman to ask and when and how. But persist, yes. You want an ice cream? Maybe not now, but I'll give it to you later. Just because I want her off my back, which is exactly what the judge said. And there's a story in Luke 11. I bet it's great. I wrote it down in the bulletin. Luke 11 is the awesome of the Lord showing me this morning. He gives, the disciples say, how shall we pray? So he says, the Lord's prayer. But he doesn't stop at the Lord's prayer. He then says, I got a story to tell you. There's a guy who goes knocks on his neighbor's door at midnight. He wants 3 loaves of bread because he's having company. He doesn't give us a bread to be his friend. He gives it because he wants to go to bed. Here, take the loaves and get me. Like, what does that say about the Father? What does that say to us about Jesus? Like, these things persist. We don't understand necessarily why we have to persist. Why can't I just ask somebody for my neighbor and get it? He knows way more what's going on than we do, and he says persist. All we need to know is we need to persist. Knocking on the door, and I would say that I lose heart because I don't have hope. I lose heart because I don't understand the cross of Jesus. And that's the next part. You know, Jesus died. We know it. I mean, see, when I was a kid, you hear the story of Jesus, and you're like, yeah, yeah, he died, rose again, loved me, great, come on. This is the core of our faith. And I can honestly say, I need to get it more central. It needs to be the pivotal point by which I see my life. By which I read scripture. Jesus died for me. He's risen again. He's covered it. I have access into the throne room of grace because of Jesus. My Savior did it. If I believe, okay, where's he quoted? That quote from that guy, I never remember. Quote it nice and loud.
If you really believe,
so,
if you really believe,
then you can. Okay, stand up and say it nice and loud. Say it, like, say it twice, so we get
slow.
Slowly.
If we really believe that what we really believe is really real, it would change how we live.
Say it again.
If we really believe that what we really believe is really real, it would change how we live.
That is a quote from the Truth Project that they hinted at used a couple of years ago, I think. It's true. If I really, I'm not going to quit. If Jesus died for me, and the scripture says that we should consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. That's Hebrews 12. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men so that we don't grow weary and lose heart because we have not yet shed blood on behalf of our neighbor. But can we ask? Can we pray? We don't, you know, there's no formula. Sometimes you have to cry in your heart and be like, oh, Jesus, you know what? I was praying for this. I realize we don't get the message of the gospel. It is not good news. We don't believe he's good. Now, this is a dangerous thing because you're thinking, yes, we do, yes, we do. But we got to evaluate every area of our life. Where is it dark in my life? Where am I not believing that the cross covers what he did? We are free. We are free. And our neighbors can be free because all he says is persist. Let that widow persist like you're asking for bread at midnight and I will hear you. And you know what he says? He says, the Father will answer you speedily. Hope's biggest question is, okay, how do you define speed, Lord? Because your speed is my entire life. When I was grieving, left home, and broken marriages, and all this messy stuff. My parents never gave up praying for him. And before my dad died, he saw and turned around to the Lord. My dad always wondered why, when my grandfather prayed for my dad and his brothers, they weren't saved. And he knew. My grandfather said, "You guys are all going to get saved, but it's going to happen after I die." My dad was saying, "Why didn't I have that confidence?" Because you have to ask the Lord. But he didn't have that confidence because he was going to be before that. And, you know, what a beautiful thing. Same family, two different stories. My grandfather gave up on my uncle. And he prayed till he got the answer. I mean, that's a whole other teaching. There's so much on praying to talk about. Praying until you know that you know you've got what you ask for, and you don't have to ask for again. You know what? You walk away and you go away. There's something interesting I've been in my life. And I won't tell the details of it because I can't get. But there's a situation that happened to us, and all these exterior circumstances that you're not going to get around. And I look for them. I don't know how I know. I didn't go in my prayer closet, weep and pray, weep for days. I just had assurance in my heart because of what we've been asking for and how we've been living with you. It was going to happen. And within a month, we had the answer. And some of our dear friends who walked a little bit with us were like, "No way." I'm like, "Yeah, right. I've heard it right." But I didn't have to go ask. Nobody had to feel like, "Oh, really?" Anyway, I think you should just pray a little bit more to get this. And the Lord said, "No, you're going to see it happen." Reed Powell was a man who lived in that law of revival. He prayed like that. He would go and pray, and they call it praying it through. And he prayed until he got the answer. He persisted until the Lord assured him. He wouldn't give up until he saw the answer or heard the Lord say enough. I know that maybe a thought that's hard for some of us to understand. But I want to read Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. You know, Jesus has died on the cross, he's a great intercessor. And we've talked at length at the session over the winter and summer, or spring, about why we pray. It's too much for a Sunday morning, actually. If you want to know why we pray, I can send you some notes. There's lots of reasons why we pray, but it's because of what Jesus did. And that is the truth we need to get confident in. And I'm going to say it like this to you. You know, and I'll say to the teens struggle with self-esteem, struggle with the lies of the enemy, we're going to kill ourselves, and all of those things. And I said to them a few weeks ago, "You are too valuable to not understand that the cross covers you." We can't dwell in our thinking patterns anymore that are negative and self-destructive because it keeps us from praying what is necessary. But we're so focused on our car being broken down, we don't see the fire at our neighbor's house. We're not calling 911. We're not going to the Father because we're so focused on our own life and our own miseries. Instead of going to Jesus, "You covered me. I blew it, but I'm forgiven. You cover me. I walk in grace. Your mercy is new every morning." That's huge. And I don't know, we struggle with it still. I venture to say, yeah, we do. That we have to take captive every thought. That we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Jesus didn't put in the Bible just for fun. He knew that this was going to be a source, an issue. We need to deal with our thinking. Out of that, we can say, "Lord, I blew it. I blew it with saying. I blew it with my sins. My anger is overtaking me, Lord. But I'm going to stand in your righteousness. It is not my righteousness. For the enemy can come at me with all he has, and I'm standing in your righteousness. And I am covered. And I am loved. And I am forgiven. And I have a new chance in the new day. And I'm going to pray for my neighbor that they experience the same grace that I'm experiencing now. I'm going to pray for those around me. You're needed. I can only say it. Your prayers are needed." He says, "Men
heart. You're needed because people are dying, people are suffering, people don't have provision. And He wants us to be instruments in prayer of those things and persist. I don't understand it all, but then He says, God will answer you quickly. And then He says in the evil one period, so I find faith on the earth when I come here. This is the time to change. And that's the cool part of what God showed me when I was 11. I started that. I had a chance to get it right. Back when I was 11, this thing, how do you pray? He gives the word of prayer. How do you pray? He gives the story of the loaf of bread. He says, think and knock. If you're knocking, this is so cool. And you know what I love? Because often we stop at that section. We stop at that, oh, this is how you pray, and then we pray the Lord's Prayer, this is how you do. We don't get into the persisting. We don't get into the, this is how the Lord taught us to pray. It's all in one package. Go read it. Luke 11. All full. We don't just have to take the one part out. The Luke, and then just pass it on. You know what's cool? That if you knock on the door, and I want to go to Daniel's house, do you live in an apartment? Okay, you live in a two-part. I'm going on knocking on his door. I don't get into the door. And then, it's not Debbie Gallagher's house way over Bellevue Road, but I'm not about to know. It's the door I'm knocking on, and do we believe it? We're going to knock, and He's going to open the door. We're going to knock, and He's going to open the door. We're going to knock, and He's going to open the door. Be the persistent widow. She knew the judge was the one to save her out of trouble. We are not knocking on Prime Minister Stephen Harper's door to get something answered from heaven that we know only God can answer. And it might be a secret desire in your heart. It might be the things you can't share because it's broken you. It's okay because the Father knows. And that is the third thing. We understand the cross, and it ushers us in to the presence of the Lord. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. It's not, well, maybe if you come, then I'll see what I can do for you. I'll maybe give you mercy or maybe, but you know, you really blew it here. You know, you really yelled at your kids. You know, not you yelled at your kids. You don't love your wife enough today. So, I don't know if I'm going to give it to you what you're asking for. Is that only yes? But that's how we live. Oh, Lord, I blew it. Oh, my goodness. And we revel in self-defeating thoughts. Some of us, not everybody. We need the good news of the gospel to understand we can come boldly for help. We come boldly because not of your righteousness, of His. That's the good news for prayer warriors. I'm going to come and pray because I've got good words. I'm going to come and pray because grandparents, you're praying for your grandchildren who are not founded on any moral plot. I just feel like I need to encourage you, grandparents. Don't lose heart. You're coming to the throne room of grace. He hears you. He hears your heartbeat. He sees every tear you cry. Don't lose heart. God, encourage my fellows in the cross of Jesus because He ushers us in to relationship with the Father. I'm going to just end with this because this is something that really grips me. If you can turn to Proverbs 24, verse 10, you're going to say, what does Jesus have to do prayer? Because of some of the journey Dave and I have walked on, you keep going through the same thing. And just so you know, David's a mortgage broker, but he also does financial coaching, and it's sort of a call of God in his life to help people get out of debt. And it's
people show up. You know, Katie kind of feels that way. Let's get out of debt, everybody! Woo-hoo! And more people show up. Yeah, that's maybe not. Well, some people would say just running in and getting out of debt are the same kind of pain, but. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So I meditate one day and I'm like, Lord, I feel like I'm going to rush back into despair and homelessness. I've been there. I don't want to go back, but I can feel myself being dragged by my own thoughts, and then I release those fear pieces. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And you think, how did God encourage you? I was like, whoa! I'm fainting in the day of adversity. No way am I going to faint in the day of adversity. How do I get my strength back? Where do I get my strength from? Well, in 24 verse 5, it says, a man is strong, yet the man of knowledge increases strength. And I think, well, what is that? What do I know about the math problem? Equals one, equals this, equals this, yeah. I'm like, well, the Word of God actually says, if a wise man gets knowledge and understanding, a wise man gets wisdom by fearing the Lord. So then I'm going back to the Lord to get the strength and wisdom, and then I'm not going to faint. So what's my course? Of course, you all know that it's really cool and feel that. The Father, He's the source. He's awesome. He says this in Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He. You are my witnesses, Harmony Church. That's what the Lord declares over you. You are my servant. I chose you that you would know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there is no God, nor more shall there be after me. We quote these verses, but if we stop and actually eat them, oh my goodness! He says I can know Him and believe Him and understand Him. He's called us to that task. Do we have goals in place that are taking us from where we are today into the depth of understanding the Father through the blood of Jesus? Like, it's awesome. It all goes together. We don't have to lose heart. We have each other. We can keep praying. You can tell someone, oh my goodness, I just want to give up. And they'll say, don't give up, I'll pray. If you can't pray today, I'll do it for you. I just love it. This is my Lord of the Rings reference, because now I've always seen one. At the end of the Lord of the Rings, when Frodo has to take the ring and destroy it in the fiery pit, he can't get up that last mountain. And Sam says, I can't carry it. We need carrying each other when we lose heart. Because we do. We need to know we can call someone and say, I'm having a rough day. Can we pray like a persistent widow? And one can believe it, pray. Often it's easier to pray for other people's stuff than our own. Pray. You can believe God for I can do it very early, but ooh, I've got my own issues. I don't know. We need to deal with that, actually. We need to be honest with ourselves and say, what am I believing about God? What am I believing about my prayer life? Because we want to meet people who understand and don't give up and have the cross, the good news of Jesus, as their central control point for everything we're doing, including prayer. That cross ushered us into the Garden of Eden. We just say, Father, I've been praying about this for a long time, and I do have to keep praying. We never know. Sometimes it's tomorrow. Sometimes it's in the next hour. Sometimes it makes me, I don't understand this to be a really quickly word. But you know what? Perhaps. There's a man who lives in the Civil War. His name was Reverend Ian Bound. He's one of my favorites. So I'm really thankful to call him right after. He's great, man. That's where I read it. That's where he wrote in the book. You know, when you knock, you're not getting to the world and some
heaven is where you're at. God answers prayer. Don't make excuses for the unanswered prayer. Stop it. You go to the Lord with the unanswered stuff. Don't start making excuses for the Father. It's wrong. Because He says He will answer quickly. We ask, we receive. If we seek, we find. If we knock, the Lord will open to us. That's how men ought to pray from the blessing. We have the form of the Our Father. Persist, ask, seek, knock. I can hardly wait to see your testimony. It's big stuff and little stuff. It's for the nation. It's for the nation. It's for Israel. It's for Ukraine and Russia. We need our prayer. Do you believe that you pray on Crowder Road, Little Mountain, Ontario? Father, I thank you for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by whom we live and whom we have our being. Lord, you are taking us on a journey to understand you, to know you and believe you and understand that you are the great I am. Before you there is no God formed, nor shall there be after you. Father, we are bombarded by our world that says you don't exist. That's where we lose heart, right there. We evolved from monkeys. We did all these great things in history. We lived billions of years. Lord, it wears us and our children down. So Father, encourage us. Encourage us through your word. Encourage us through the cross of Jesus. Encourage us in our times that we encourage us not to lose heart or persist, because we want to call down the aid that only you can give. Help us believe for big things and small things, because sometimes the small things lead to such bigger things than we understand. It's a ripple effect. You drop a little rock in the water and look how far the ripple is gone. Thank you, Lord, for your patience of this church with me over these years, as I have worked out my salvation in front of them in prayer. Bless them. I pray that you would turn the tap on, that they would awaken, and they would not lose heart. I pray that you refresh the nation. Amen.
Thank you. I think the altar is representative of the throne of grace. the Father's here, and this to me is a representation of his feet. So if you want to come to the Father, and you want to establish some goals right now, instead of just letting them slide and maybe not thinking about them for another couple weeks, establish the goals. If you want to do that, please do that. But if you need to go and you have things to do, please tonight, today, whenever you can, make those goals, set those goals, because they will impact your life. And I'm going to get up here and I'm going to establish some goals in my own life. But that was flat, honestly, in the prayer, in praying and seeking God and seeking intimacy with His Father. So I'm going to establish some goals. So if you want to come and pray with me, maybe pray for me, please do that. But don't let it slide. Take it seriously. And when you seek Him, you're going to find Him. And I know that God will meet you and He will transform your life in powerful ways. So, Father, bless Harmony Church. Encourage them. It's a challenging word, but a wonderful word. That when we establish goals, that when we seek You, that when we center our heart and our life upon Your life, You come and You transform not just us, but everything around us. I want to be a plant shaker. I want my feet to shake the ground that it steps. I want wherever I go to be impacted by the power of the gospel, by the power of Jesus. I want my lips and my life to just emanate Jesus in His power and presence. I want people's lives to be changed through coming in contact with me. And I pray that that's how many churches cry, that our life would be like Christ, that wherever we step, transformation would come, and power would be released, that people's lives would be changed, families would be healed, saved, and delivered. So Father, release us this morning with the challenge and the encouragement take seriously the call to pray. And that we as a church, as Harmony Church, that we get it done. So Father, we thank You. Thank You for the word that was spoken. Bless Your church this morning. Encourage us. And in Your mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm just going to add, if you don't know how to set a goal, here's my practical guide that I do that. Pray to the Lord. Read the gospel and let the Lord speak to you. It's a very practical thing. You read the gospel. He can reveal to you. Pastor Bruce said it last week. We don't want to wander off from the calling. Right? Did he not say it like that? Left? You know, your reverberating. Remember he said that last week? Does anyone remember? If we don't know our calling, we don't know where we're wandering off to. So, Father, I'm just going to add this to Daniel's prayer, that You will bless each one here with insight and discernment and understanding and knowledge. Father, I pray that You would give them a revelation of the cross of Christ and what You are calling them to be in the place where they walk and run and live. And we come together in harmony as a collective. Reveal the vision to our leadership of our own calling as a congregation for this next season of our life. Lord, You are great and You answer prayer and You come quickly, speedily to us. And the other tip is, grab a friend and say, I need help setting a goal. This is what I'm thinking. What do you think? Will you pray with me about this? Those are very practical things you can do. So Lord, I just thank You.
Scripture is always in favor of me. John 17. Jesus is praying in prayer and and I've been praying for my devotion, your heart, Father, that You are my one. And that whole passage, really opened their eyes and helped us start to worship. But I never did get the reason for worship because I had to get from that John team, which really brought to me. And you can't go over it too many times. It's just the last degree.
Jesus, Jesus, my soul.